Well, it's a brand new week and time for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. We're also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. And we want to welcome back all of our loyal Radio Maria listeners. Thank you for tuning in. From Radio Maria, we're a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Chris, the producer of the show. And as always, your host, here he is, the one, the only, Dr. John Aquaviva. And also our special guest host of the day, Mr. Ed Billick. Everybody loves Ed.
Folks, welcome to the show. However, wherever you are joining us from, this is Faith and Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. I'm an exercise scientist at Wingate University, just a little ways from here where we are in Charlotte. Once a week, I come out of that role as a professor, come down here to the studio, meet with Chris, and this week I meet with Ed, and we talk about two of our favorite things, literally faith and sport. So thank you for joining us here today on Carolina Catholic Radio. We are a co-production of Radio Maria, so thank you for anybody listening today. And we also want to remind you folks, you can listen to us just about any, in fact, anytime. We're on every day of the week. And there's other ways to tune us in. In fact, you can just do it on demand, which That's I don't right. really know what it sounds like, but it sounds like if you hit that button, you have that app, you can listen to our show. Is that correct, Chris?
Yes, it sounds something like what we're doing right now.
There you go, folks. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to discuss all things sports, including our hit and miss with Ed Billick. We have our COVID-related sports announcement of the week. That's our first time we're ever doing that. Ed, yeah. Ed, you must be excited about that.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
COVID-related sports announcement of the week. We're going to do weekend headlines. We're going to have a little break. Then we're going to bring on Charlie Wilkinson. He is a seminarian, and he is also a former United States Eagle in rugby. And what that means is he's representing the United States in the world of international rugby. Yep. He's an awesome rugby player. He's an awesome guy. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a great fan of sports. So he's going to come talk to us about what's going on in the world of sport. We have a quick Q&A with Dr. A, and then we're going to do our stat of the week. Let me reintroduce my buddy and partner, Ed Billick. How you doing, pal?
Great. I tell you what, you know, once a month swinging by here, spending time with you guys. It's entertainment for me. It's entertainment for you guys. And you guys have been on the air how long now here on Carolina Catholic Radio?
We've been doing the show, and you restarted it with me where you're on every week for a couple weeks. We've been doing it for about a year and a half. But Radio Maria just celebrated, Carolina Catholic Radio just celebrated our two-year anniversary just last
That's
month.
Right. Yeah.
How about that?
I know. We've been on the air for 2 years. Outstanding. Congratulations to David Papandrea, the CEO and president, and all his hard work. And by the way, it's 2 years that we've been on the air, but if you go back 5 years before that, maybe even longer. In fact, if David's listening, he's like, longer than that. That's when he had the idea for the show and vision for the show, and he made it work, brother. And congratulations to him, and thank you for him, because I know this enriches people's lives to have Catholic radio.
And you know, you look at the lineup that he's been able to pull together.
That's right.
And look at all the quality of shows, both local and through EWTN. It's impressive.
Yeah, there's 400 different Catholic radio affiliates in the country, and about half of them are EWTN like we are. But still, it's in just about every major city, and that's why we're here, right? Is because Dave said, look at the size of the city. It grows every day by the hundreds.
And this is faith and sport. I mean, just real quick for our listeners, where'd that idea ever come from? I don't want to go through the long kind of story, but it is pretty cool to hear.
It is. It's a great question. But really, it's just combining two things that I not only really like, but I have passion for, right? I've been a faithful Catholic. I born and raised in the faith, and I love applying my Catholic faith to everyday life, right? I'm married now. I have four kids. The fifth one's on the way in a couple weeks. And it's applicable to our everyday relationships. It's applicable to marriage. It applies to everything that we do. And one of the things that John Paul II did just before his papacy ended in 2004, he started what was called the Office of Church and Sport, in which he created this office of the laity to create this strong relationship between our faith and what we do as an athlete, a coach, a referee. And what I did is when I read that document, I said, why not make this a radio show? And so what we do, Ed, is just about every week, when we get together every week, what I do is I try to bring in character, ethics, and morality as it relates to sport. And so that's why we do this show.
And your guests that you've had some tremendous guests.
Outstanding.
Folks, can they go back and listen to some old shows?
They can listen to old shows. Chris, do you have any idea how many old shows they could go back and listen to? Just about every one?
Yeah, every one that we've recorded on Carolina Catholic Radio. Yeah. They can go to the CarolinaCatholicRadio.org website and go to Faith and Sport On Demand, and the whole Faith and Sport archive is on there.
Yeah.
So they can relive their favorite moments of Faith and Sport.
In Faith and Sport history. And Ed, just a general reminder, you know, we mentioned Radio Maria. This is a co-production of Radio Maria. And prior to us coming here to Carolina Catholic Radio, you and I were together on that show, I want to say for a year and a half.
Yeah, it was a year and a half weekly. And we never missed a beat.
No.
And we had a couple holidays and things in there. We had some tremendous guests. We were on 13, 14 affiliates. So
that's right.
Hello to all of our Radio Maria listeners.
That's right. And if you go to RadioMaria.us, you can see, if you go under Faith and Sport, you could see all of our previous shows.
Way back.
Those are there. So
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, a little bit of background on this show. Thank you, folks, for joining us today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva, joined in studio by Ed Billick. The voice you hear outside of Ed and I's is our producer, Chris Pressler. Buddy, let's get into it, man. There's tons to talk about. As always, we like to talk about our hit or miss in the world of sport. What do you got for us, a hit or miss?
Well, I was going to go back to our Cathlete of the Week, a Catholic who's also an athlete.
Athlete. Go ahead.
Jordan Spieth had a wonderful day Saturday of round three, and I'm not going to go through the stats, but he put in some long putts that were just awesome. I was just real happy to see him on the upswing. We'll talk about who won that tournament later.
That's
so
right.
That was going to be my hit, but my hit has to be Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We will tell our grandkids someday that we lived during this era of his greatness. I mean, he's now won more Super Bowls as a quarterback than the entire Steelers teams that won six. Yep. He now has seven. More than the Patriots, they have six. He has seven. He's been the MVP for the fifth time. He took a 7-9 team. He took the – and it's not just his quarterback skills. He knows the game of football.
Course.
He was coached and well-bred under Bill Belichick.
Right.
So with all of that and so much of his ability today transpired into his leadership skills, he is truly a leader of among men. And with Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, and guys that maybe were off the beaten path, brought his old buddy back, Gronkowski, out of retirement. And he said, and he willed them into that game and willed them into that Super Bowl victory. I was disappointed to see the Kansas City Chiefs did not show up.
They laid an egg, didn't they?
Yeah. They couldn't believe that.
This is
hats off, and God bless Tom Brady and what he was able to do, not only for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but for the fans and the loyal people of Tampa Bay, Florida.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. We're going to circle back around to the Super Bowl. We got a lot to talk about there. Before I get to my hit or miss, I want to give a shout-out to this week's sponsor. In fact, he's been our sponsor now for a couple weeks. He's decided to be the sponsor for a couple more weeks after this. But he is author Jeff Ballister. He's written a book called God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. And if you want to find out more about Jeff, if you want to find out more about this book, why he wrote this book, go to GodDoesn'tPlayAZoneDefense.com, and it's all about using the analogy of basketball to help develop a more personal relationship with our Lord. And he's a faithful guy. He's a friend of the show. He's been a guest a couple times. He's going to join us next month to talk a little bit more about this book on a short stint. And I just want to thank Jeff Ballister and folks. He wants to get the message out, and that's why he decided so graciously to be the sponsor of the show. God Doesn't Play His Own Defense. Check out the book. Check out the website.
And before we go to your hit or miss, I want to give a shout out to Father Peter over at St. Matthew's Catholic Church. Go to YouTube. Go to yesterday's 9 o'clock mass, which was streamed. Listen to his sermon. And I'm not going to go through.
Huh?
Yeah, 60 seconds and why you're a Catholic.
I like that.
60 seconds.
Wait
it's
a minute.
An elevator speech.
Just,
up and down.
Just to clarify, did he just give a 60-second homily?
Yeah,
was part of it?
No, we were out of there in no time at all. No, I'm just kidding. He expounded on that. But he had somebody at RCIA ask him, what's it mean to be a Catholic? And he summarized it in 60 seconds.
I love it.
So go to stmatthew.org, or really through the YouTube St. Matthew channel, 9 o'clock mass with Father Peter in a sermon.
Now, if he would have asked me my opinion, what's it mean to be a Catholic, I would have said, Father, can you extend it by 5 seconds and then say, and also listen to Faith and Sport Radio? Right? Seriously.
You're professing your discipleship, and this is where you do that.
This is outstanding. I feel so blessed. A lot of people use that term, but I couldn't be more sincere. I feel truly blessed to be able to bring this show.
And we as your listeners are also blessed to have you, and I'm not just blowing smoke.
Yeah,
you do this for free.
I do. Well, pretty much I do this for free, but this is certainly a service to the church. You do it as a service. Everybody associated with this show, They give a great deal of effort, and you know, if they're paid, it's paid very little. But yes, you and I do it as a service.
Wonderful.
To the church.
Yeah. Well, how about your hit or miss?
Well, there you go, brother. You know who my hit and miss is our last week's guest, and I just want to emphasize his message. Last week's guest was John LaManna, and he is a head basketball coach at Whitman College of the men's basketball team. He was formerly at two Catholic universities or institutions, Ave Maria in Florida and then Franciscan University in Ohio. And then he brought his program back out west to where he's from in the state of Washington. And now he's the head basketball coach again at Whitman College. And it's because of his virtue development. In other words, it is really good to hear his message. You guys can go back and hear his message, but I don't want to emphasize this. Is that he said, listen, Catholic or not, whether it's a Catholic school or not, virtue, the cardinal virtues in particular, are what he wants to instill in his players. And the reason that this is my hit of the week is that I just want to emphasize that there are coaches and schools out there that care about ethics and moral and care about the character development of their student athletes. And John LaManna is one of them. And he can't be the only one out there. It's just that he articulated his program and he emphasizes what are called the cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Listen to last week's show, February 1st, 2021, and you'll hear in specific how he does that. And I was just uplifted by the fact that there's a guy out there who is a coach who loves wins as much as anybody. John will admit that, as much as anybody that's ever coached a sport. But he also brings in character development, and he instills those virtues in those players. So God bless you, John LaManna, and God bless all folks who instill some type of virtue or character development into their programs.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
good stuff. All right, so next on the docket is the COVID-related sports announcement of the week. I know people have been sitting at the edge of their seats. So, Ed, there's a website that I go to each and every week, and you have probably a particular website that is filled with sports, right? It says this is the news in the NBA, this is the news in the NHL, this is the news right all across the board. NASCAR to throw Chris a bone and so
That's
forth.
Right.
And I'm reading under the NBA, you know, LeBron James scores 78 points to lead the Lakers to their 45th straight victory. You know, that stuff's in there. And by the way, I'm exaggerating that a little bit. People are like, 45 straight victories? No way. So I'm reading along, and it says Bill Russell, right? So my attention goes to it, and I'm going, oh, no, something bad has happened.
Yeah, with a lot of sports figures that have passed
last year, this year.
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot, right? But it's probably no more than normal. But
well, maybe because we recognize them more.
Yeah, and maybe
because they're more of our era, which means you're getting older.
That's right. I'm getting old. I'm not getting older, brother. You're getting older. Chris is getting older. Some of our listeners are getting older. I'm not getting any older. I don't know who you're talking to over there.
Okay, back to Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. And, of course, this is speaking to the people that were sports fans in the 50s and 60s. And, of course, Bill's famous because he had 10 wins. He has 10 rings from his years on the Boston Celtics, right? And he's considered like one of the great Celtics of all time, one of the great athletes of all time, one of the great winners of all time. And it says the headline, and of course, you know how like your mind like starts to go in slow motion. You see Bill Russell because he's, you know, his name's not in the news all that much.
And he's getting old too.
Yes. And you're thinking, you know, he's got to be in his late 80s at this point.
I don't know about that.
But you know what I mean, right? And so you know how you hear something and it slows down, like, folks, we have special news to report. And then the world kind of slows down, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And while you're reading, it slows down. And you're like, oh, no, what's coming? And it said, Bill Russell receives his first COVID vaccine.
Wow.
Come on. You mean that's where we are? Like, and that's truly where we are in this 24-hour news cycle is that – we have to report something, ladies and gentlemen. What can we report? And somebody's like, hey, I heard that Bill Russell, the great Celtic basketball player, received his first COVID vaccine. I'm wondering how big a news it's going to be when he receives his second vaccine.
You know, his birthday is coming. His birthday's come up before dates. He'll be 87.
I told you.
You're right.
Yeah.
So he's got his COVID vaccine. When's he get the second one? Because that could be a
he's
tough one.
Chris, is he falling into the trap or not?
Right into Bill. Such a big, long guy. I wonder how much vaccine they had to put in it.
Folks, listen, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Sport. It's the most silly program, at least regarding faith in sport. But we want to thank our Radio Maria listeners, our Carolina Catholic Radio listeners. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva, joined in studio today by Ed Billick. Our producer is Chris Pressler. This is Faith in Sport, where we look at sports through a Catholic lens. In other words, whether it involves morality, character, or any type of virtue or morality, we like to bring that into our conversation. So steer people to it, man. Tell them about this show. Tell them it's on the air. It's on demand on Carolina Catholic Radio. You can go to old shows on Radio Maria. Listen to us every week. It's at the same time, and we just have a blast.
If you have a suggestion for a topic and or a potential guest, how can folks get a hold of you?
They can. There's a you know, I have a little banner that goes across the page on Carolina Catholic Radio. That's one way, and you can write me a little letter there. Or if you have a little pen and paper, you can tweet me. And I know people are like, well, how do you tweet somebody? But people that have Twitter accounts know exactly. Chris, what do you have? Tell me what. Okay, do you have a Facebook account?
No, I don't have a Facebook
account.
Do you
have a Twitter account?
No, I don't have a Twitter account.
Do you have an Instagram account?
No, don't have one of those either.
Chris, do you have a cell phone?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have any accounts?
I stay off those to stay drama-free.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so do I. The only thing we have is what's show-related, but I don't have any of those personal
accounts. All my Twitter accounts, which I don't tweet, are all sports-related, so I keep up to date with sports. I like watching it during a game because people see things I don't see, but right. Yeah.
I have a phone and an email address.
Yeah, that's right. So,
and you have a street address, right? You got a mailbox
one of those too,
out the driveway?
Okay. That's right.
Chris lives in that wonderful red car of his.
Yeah.
Anyway, your question. So you can email me at the following. faithandsport@wingate.edu.
A-N-D?
faithandsport@wingate.edu. Also, john@faithandsportradio.com. But I guess David Pepindre always says, nobody's going to write that down. But I think some people write that down. Remember one time we heard from that guy from Nigeria. Do you remember that?
Exactly.
That was outstanding. Yeah. So, and it wasn't Nigeria, Arkansas either. It was like the country of Nigeria.
He wanted to know if you had any hair.
Is that what he said?
I think so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I say yes to that.
And you sure it wasn't one of those Nigerian scammers either?
That's right. Asking me. No, in fact, he didn't ask me for anything. He just said, I'm a fan of the show, Faith in Sport.
He was a faithful Christian.
He was. That guy was faithful, and I thought it was great that he reached out. And at that moment, I looked to you and I said, Ed, we have an international show.
If you have guests or you have some topics that you want Dr. John to pursue.
That's right. Send me a note, folks. Go through Carolina Catholic Radio, or you can go over to Chris's house in the Gastonia, North Carolina area, and then just leave him a piece of paper.
Yeah, stick a letter in the mailbox.
That's right. No. Chris wants to hear from his fans and our fans personally, so you can walk right up to his house.
Yeah.
So listen, we promised some conversation about the Super Bowl. I want to give a couple background. Now, let's just a couple background pieces of info, and then get started in our conversation. Okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the game 31-9. A couple things about that. It was the first time ever that two previous Super Bowl winners faced each other. In other words, the two most recent winners of the Super Bowl. Last year was the Chiefs. 2 years ago, it was the Patriots, led by Tom Brady. It was the first time ever that they faced each other in 50-plus years. It's the first time, of course, that it was played in the home stadium of one of the teams. And also, it was the first time that Patrick Mahomes did not engineer a TD in a game in which he played. They scored three field goals, and that was it.
If you would have told me that like days ago, I'd say, no, where did you wake up? What planet were you on?
Yeah, there's no way that happened.
Because it was a letdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, your hit was Tom Brady, of course, and he deserves every accolade that's ever come his way, right? You know, the most interesting things I've heard all year was the following that I heard this week. A talking head on a big station, he's a big name, and what he did was he took Tom Brady's career and split it exactly in half, and he said, this is the first half of his career, this is the second half, and he argued that not only would he be able to get both of those guys, if they were separate people, in the Hall of Fame, he argued that either one, Tom Brady A or Tom Brady B, was as good as anybody that's ever played the game.
I thought you were going to say that Tom Brady B was better than A.
No. In fact, you should see how almost equal it is as far as Super Bowl wins, as far as touchdowns, MVPs in the season, MVPs. But you know one of the most interesting things that come out of that conversation is only three times he was voted to the Pro Bowl. You know what the Pro Bowl means versus the All-Pro versus the Pro Bowl? You know the difference between the two? Pro Bowl is like eight different quarterbacks, for instance, are invited to the Pro Bowl. All-Pro means you're the best person at that position, and he's only won it three times.
Well, even folks said today that Aaron Rodgers is still a better quarterback per skill.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
how's that Super Bowl ring fit, Aaron?
No, he does have one, though.
him and Jake and State Farm and Mahomes, they'll be over there.
Yeah. All right, you ready for this? Let's see how quickly you guys catch this. There was a quote on social media today that I read. Tom Brady would have 11 rings if Archie Manning decided he didn't want to have kids. That's pretty good. You get it, right?
Yeah, no Peyton, no Eli.
No Eli, because how many do they have between them? Four. They have two each. Eli has two,
and Peyton
has two. And I thought that was so funny because in each case, either directly or indirectly, they beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He would have 11 if that's so funny. If Archie.
But back to my point, guys. We're living in
what
an
is
era
your point?
I hate when sports people say, back to my point.
Yeah.
We're living in an era which is just very special. It's like living in the 20s in 1927 and watching Babe Ruth perform. It's that kind of aura.
No, this is a great time to be a sports fan. This is a great time to be an NFL fan in particular because, you know, he's a University of Michigan guy. And then with teams, especially.
It has everything to do with it, brother.
He's from the University of Michigan. No, but what I mean is there are such allegiances to these college football programs that even if, you know, that guy from the opposing team or your big rival, like in the case of Ohio State, Michigan, right? Even if you're from Ohio, but your great player comes from Michigan, you have a hard time voting for him, right?
Yeah,
because you voted against him or rooted against him for so many years. But here, I think people, they overcome that. And there's just pure appreciation for Tom Brady. And I know this is the Tom Brady hour, but if any athlete in the history of sport deserves great accolades, it's him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Folks, listen, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. And this is where we merge in Faith in Sport, the show, sport and virtue. And we like to talk about character development. We like to talk about morality and so forth as it relates to what's going on in the world of sport. You know, a couple more things about the Super Bowl. You have to give credit, despite the fact that we have given so many accolades to Mr. Mahomes, you have to give credit to the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of this. He was under pressure. He was running for his life almost the entire game.
No, he was.
And the way he scrambles was so impressive, extending that play for another second or two. But here's one of the stats of the game. It took until the fourth quarter with less than 5 minutes left until he had a third down completion. And the two third down completions he had were both behind the line of scrimmage. In other words, they were little screens.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just fanned out. He threw a screen. It was like 2 or 3 yards behind. And in both cases, the guy ran up. But, of course, the defense was playing soft because they just wanted him to. They just didn't want him to score. They were letting him get a first down. In both cases, they got a first down.
I was afraid in that fourth quarter he was going to get hurt. He was scrambling all over the place, getting sacked. There almost looked like a helmet-to-helmet there at one time. I was afraid he was going to have a concussion. I mean, the guy was just trying to do anything he could to
just get out. I know. You have to give a lot of credit to the Tampa Bay Bucs defense. And this is one part of the insight and part of the reason that Tom Brady deserves accolades. He saw that last year. He was like, this team is in place to win a Super Bowl. And he got Gronkowski out of retirement, got Antonio Brown to come across and stay out of trouble. He got Leonard Fournette they signed him. But the defense, I mean, to keep Patrick Mahomes to 3 field goals, that guy is a superstar. He's terrific.
Yeah.
And they kept him to 3 field goals. That was Chris, did you watch the game?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't believe the Chiefs. They didn't look like the Chiefs that won the Super Bowl last year.
No, let me
ask you this, Chris. Would you agree that a couple people said, albeit a Super Bowl game, it was actually a little boring? Did you find that to be?
Yeah, actually enjoyed the commercials more than the game.
Did you find it boring in any sense, Ed?
Yeah, like I was telling John earlier, normally a game like that, I'm closing it off. I'm going to bed. My sleep's more valuable. I said, I'm staying up to the last. I'm just watch the whole game because Mahomes can bring him back.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. In fact, everybody thought that. Everybody's like, no, this game's far from over. But every time, and you know, a lot of people here, I think fans of the show, know I haven't watched 1 minute. And despite all this chatter about the Super Bowl, I didn't watch 1 minute of it. But I did watch this morning the highlights of the game. And almost every pass play that he dropped back, he was under fire. He's running for his life.
Oh, he was.
That guy has great moves, though. Man, he has a – did you notice that?
Yeah.
A guy's running after him, and he just goes, boop, and he moves like a water spider. And he just goes, boom, and he moves out of the way, and he presents himself with another 2 or 3 seconds to throw the ball. But those defensive backs were covering those guys, man. That was that's one heck of a performance.
You know, with things kind of getting back to normal, they're not. It's going to be a while. There were fans in the stands.
Yeah.
There were fans at the Waste Management Golf Tournament, which was great to hear. And now we're back on a regular cycle, I believe, because now we're into the hockey season, some of the basketball season.
Yep.
The Masters will be in April. None of this Masters in November and Thanksgiving on May 1st. And at least Christmas Day is Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, one more thing before we go to weekend headlines. First of all, folks, thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. And so whether you're an athlete, whether you're a parent or grandparent of an athlete, whether you're a referee, whether you are an administrator, whether you're a coach, this show is for you. And if you enjoy this show, do me a favor, do the show a favor, do your faith a favor, and pass this show on to folks that are lovers of sport and consider themselves faithful people. One more thing before we go to the weekend headlines. It's estimated that 11 million people took the day off, as basically after a holiday, right? And part of it is everything from they partied too much to they partied late to I just want to take the day off. It's estimated 11 million people and millions of others who believe will call in sick today because they just partied a little too hard. And in fact, here's my thinking. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks fans are probably hurting today, but the only people hurting more than them are the Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Because isn't it true that the stats say concession stands actually, alcohol consumption goes up when their team's losing, right? Especially if it's a blowout. Have you ever heard that? But it makes sense, doesn't it? All right. Ed's look, you're giving me a funny look with all this. But that's pretty amazing, right? 11 million people. In fact, you guys might have heard of this. There was this petition signed, I think it was about 10 years ago, that people were signing this petition and pushing the United States government to make it a national holiday. And here's why they wanted it. Sunday is Sunday. Nobody works on Sunday, at least technically, the government and so forth.
Long weekend.
But they wanted a Monday off. Because if it falls on a Sunday, then that means the next day's off. But folks, you can get up and go
to work. You have that, then Halloween should always be on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's a me culture thing. Come on.
I don't so much mind that because it's not a faith-based holiday. It is, right? With that we've had that conversation before.
Yeah, it is. We're all saints.
But you know what I mean, right? It's not directly related to something that happened in history, whatever the case is.
Put the Super Bowl on Saturday.
Well, that's right, so people can have the next day. But then it doesn't have the same ring, Super Bowl Saturday. Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, it sounds demeaning. It's like Sunday is for church, Sunday is for football. A football church.
Well, folks, listen, I'm looking at my schedule. Chris is ready. Let's do weekend headlines, brother. What do we got?
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
It's Weekend Headlines on Faith and Sport with Dr. John Aquaviva and Ed Billick.
Here we go, folks. Here's what's going on in the world of sport in the PGA. Brooks Koepka finishes 19 under to take the Phoenix Open, or as Ed said earlier, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Next on the docket is the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And if you tell me who sponsors that, I'll die a happy man.
AT&T.
he was all over that. Chris, when's NASCAR going to start? I want to say the Daytona 500 is coming up.
Valentine's Day.
So if
you don't know what to do on Valentine's Day, take your sweetheart to the Daytona 500.
They're either virtually or live, right?
That's right.
There you go. In the NHL, there are no longer any unbeaten teams. In fact, the Capitals got crushed, man. I watched that game yesterday, the Flyers.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not a Catholic thing.
Well, no. I'm just – and in case anyone's wondering, everybody's favorite hockey team, the Detroit Red Wings, are 3-8-2. And by the way, your Penguins, they're even 500.
They're looking for a general manager. You interested?
If I can do faith in sport, I'll take just about any job.
Looking for a GM, the Pens are.
Fantastic. In the NFL, of course, Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl in a strong, or as of some thought, boring fashion. Needless to say, football is over for now. But will people, especially on ESPN and other venues, stop talking about it? Yes or no?
You got a lot of quarterbacks looking for jobs.
Yeah, that's right. It'll never stop.
No.
They will talk on opening day of baseball, on the day of the Masters, they will mention what's going on. They'll talk about the grass was cut at New England Patriots Stadium today.
Gillette Stadium.
To 3.5 inches.
Yeah, and you remember how Washington broke the Steelers' undefeated streak? Wow.
A little stat again.
I know, I can't hear that. And Major League Baseball, Ed, this is amazing to say this. Football was ended just this weekend. Baseball starts next week. That's crazy because of COVID, right? It went a little further along. Most teams' pitchers and catchers report in just a few days, and the rich got richer. The World Series champs Dodgers acquired Cy Young.
And don't forget what's next Wednesday.
What is next Wednesday?
Ash Wednesday.
Oh, there you go.
Let's begin.
There you go. Oh, brother, that's all.
See, everything's back in the right cycle.
I know. In fact, right around the time, in fact, you know, when we see like ESPN cover pitchers and catchers reporting, when those catchers take off their masks, we should see a cross on their forehead.
Especially for the Pirates that have no players.
They have players. They're just not very good. And by the way, just to finish that comment, the rich got richer. World Series champs Dodgers acquired Cy Young pitcher Trevor Bauer. All right, folks, there you have it. Sports headlines that may or may not change your life. Listen, stay with us after the break. Charlie Wilkinson, seminarian, former U.S. Eagle in rugby. He's going to join us for some great conversation in sport. Also, we have the quick Q&A with Dr. A and our great stat of the week. Chris, take it over. We'll do a break, and we'll come right on back.
You are listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org. And we're also a co-production of Radio Maria, so stay tuned, all you Radio Maria listeners and Carolina Catholic Radio listeners. We've got more Faith and Sport on the way right after the break. And also, if you don't get your fill of Faith and Sport live, well, you can get your fill by going to CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and checking out Faith and Sport on Demand.
AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte. Come join us and be a part of our 2020 vision to harvest souls for Christ in the vineyard of the Carolinas.
Carolina Catholic News. Employment opportunities in the diocese. St. Michael's Catholic School in Gastonia is seeking to fill the following positions: pre-K teacher assistant, 7th grade teacher, and substitute teachers. Contact M.D. Vollman, that's V-O-L-L-M-A-N, at stmichaelsgastonia.org. Christ the King Catholic High School in Huntersville is looking for a full-time guidance counselor. Appropriate degrees and North Carolina State certification required. Dedication to the Catholic faith, the ideal candidate will possess wide-range academic preparation and successful interaction with young people. Send application and resume to Marissa Vandenberg at ctk-resume@ctkchs.org. For the Carolina Catholic News, I'm Pam Cullen. Peace and blessings in the new year.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
This is Jason Murphy from the Obligation Radio Show here on AM 1270. The 11th Annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas is set for Saturday, March 20th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in North Charlotte. Speakers include EWTN's own Bear Wozniak, Belmont Abbey College President Dr. Bill Therfelder, Dr. John Aquaviva from Wingate University and host of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, and my own partner in crime on the Obligation Radio Show and business life coach, John Eads. Mass will be offered by Bishop Peter Jugas and assisted by the seminarians of St. Joseph Seminary. It will be a day of faith and fellowship with talks, Mass, rosary, and lunch. Sign up today at CatholicMenOfTheCarolinas.org and also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Virtual ticket options are also available. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. God bless and Esto Vir.
And we are back for more Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte, also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also back with Radio Maria. Welcome back to all of our Radio Maria listeners listening today to an all-new edition of Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer, and once again, here he is, the host of Faith and Sport, along with our special guest host, Ed Billick and Dr. John Aquaviva.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Very good. John, I tell you what, we got a pretty cool guest coming up pretty soon here on Faith and Sport, and can't wait to hear.
Yeah, in fact, that is Charlie Wilkinson. He is a current seminarian, and he is a former international rugby player for the U.S. Eagles. That means he represented the United States in international rugby play. He is a perfect fit for this show. He's a faithful guy. He loves sport. He knows sport. He's going to be on with us in just in 1 minute. Folks, I want to reach out and say hi and thank you to this month's sponsor, and that is author Jeff Ballister. His book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, is a great book to help you develop a personal relationship with God. And he's just used the analogy of basketball to draw on the reader, to draw on the sports fan. And check out his website at goddoesn'tplayhiszonedefense.com. You can learn more about Jeff Ballister, the author, why he wrote this book, and more about this book, and even how to order this book. I think Chris, Ed, and everybody else can agree this is a great little stocking stuffer for next Christmas, or it'll easily fit in someone's Easter basket. Listen. I've talked about Charlie a couple times. He's been a guest on this show several times, both phone and in studio. He's been gracious enough with his time to take a few minutes out from seminary and join us here on the line from Denver, Colorado. Charlie Wilkinson, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, John. And John, but how do you know that God doesn't play his own defense? His own defense is very, very effective. I don't know how that guy doesn't know that, because I used to be a basketball coach, and sometimes we played zone defense.
You know,
okay.
And you could
good be here.
Yeah, no, this is great. In fact, you would appreciate this because it's really clever, but you would appreciate this also. Jeff Ballister, the author of that book, Charlie, he's a Northern Virginia guy, and he played under Jim Phelan at Mount St. Mary's.
Oh, wow. One of the great coaches of the country.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
And, oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And of course, it's just a little analogy. And I always like to tell this story, and it's a story I tell to help draw readers in. In fact, Jeff originally told me this story on air last month, but you'll appreciate it. They were going to the Basketball Hall of Fame when he was a kid, and his dad was a big basketball fan and player himself and coach. And he said they got lost, and he said this was before GPS and before cell phones and so forth. And he goes, next thing you know, we're going down this tiny road that nothing could be at the end of this road except for maybe a farm, right? And he says, as they're going down this road, you know, all the kids are, you know, Jeff's like 8 years old or something. He's a little kid. And he sees all these kids playing basketball in this just outside hoop. And he rolls down the window and he yells to these kids, you guys have any idea how to get to the Basketball Hall of Fame? And they all just look at each other, and the one with the ball under his arm goes, a lot of hard work, brother, a lot of hard work. So anyway, that is
John. That's a steal in a line from Carnegie. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
That's right. That's right. And and whether it really happened, Jeff actually says that's exactly what they said. So maybe they stole it from Jeff Ballister and his dad. Right?
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good.
So, folks, on the air, on the phone with us right now is seminarian Charlie Wilkinson, former international rugby athlete, and he's out in the seminary in Denver, Colorado, and he's here to just talk to us about what's going on in the world of sport. Chuck, what was your takeaway, maybe from something unique that a lot of people don't talk about, regarding the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I felt like everybody that was watching, of course, you have the Kansas City fans and the Tampa Bay fans, but then the rest of the country is either for Tom Brady or against Tom Brady,
yep.
Right? The New England Patriots, I think, became like the Duke University basketball team of the sports world in the sense that everyone was always praising Belichick and Brady so much, it just gets to be a little bit of, you know, vomit. And it was the same way with Krzyzewski and the Duke basketball team. You know, it was too much because of the way the announcers always praise him. So there's a lot of people that don't like New England, of course, for that reason, and don't like Brady. And anyway, I think people are rooting for or against him. I was for Brady because I always rooted for him ever since he came out of Michigan. And we could talk about Drew Henson and that whole debacle. But anyway, so I think that was a big element. And, you know, I felt like, I just felt like, that Brady would have a shot because of his defense.
Yep.
And I don't know who the MVP was because I had a lead, but I felt it was the Tampa Bay defense. Do we know who – was it Brady?
Actually, I'm not sure the answer to this question. Ed, do you have any idea who won the – can you look that up for me, brother? Who won the Super Bowl MVP? That's interesting.
Well, Brady won what this year.
I didn't know, Ed.
Okay, yeah.
Ed, I haven't talked to you in a while. Good to hear that you're there.
So it was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, Chuck, you know, that leads me to something, and you're not going to be surprised by this. I mentioned this in the first half of the show. I think we talked about this off air, that if you split Tom Brady's career in half, if it were two different people, that both guys, so to speak, the first half career, the second half of his career, both guys on their own would be elected on the first ballot to the Hall of Fame. What a statement that makes about how successful that guy is.
Kind of like Kurt Warner had 10 years, and Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So, it's a great comment. Here's my thing. I don't know. I feel like I came up with this on my own. Maybe other people have said it many times, but the defense needs to trust their quarterback and play for their quarterback. And, you know, Tampa Bay had Jameis Winston, who threw 30 interceptions, and it's just a load. Your defense cannot play strong when they know that the guy's liable to throw an interception. And I noticed this when Pittsburgh was playing Tennessee 15, 16 years ago, and they had this good quarterback, Tommy Maddox.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh played Tennessee. I think they got to the playoffs, and it was 36-34. I can't remember who won. I think it was Tennessee. And I was like, God, what happened to Pittsburgh's defense? And Maddox was good. I liked Maddox. He could throw. He was a thrower. And then all of a sudden, Maddox got hurt the next year, and Roethlisberger comes in, and he's tough, and he doesn't throw interceptions, and their defense is back. Like, they had the same defense. I mean, Tampa Bay had the same defense, but now, of course, with Brady, they can trust that. Also, I mean, Mahomes also, their defense plays for him too. They know that Mahomes can come back. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And so they play hard for Mahomes as well. I'm not saying anything against Kansas City. So I think that was a big thing. I really do think Tampa Bay's defense was the MVP. I don't know. I think Brady was the MVP for the season, but not a question, without a doubt, in that game somehow. Tampa Bay defense, maybe some linemen, maybe, you know, should have been the MVP. Of course, Brady had a great game, but anyway.
No, that's right. Folks, we're talking to Charlie Wilkinson, seminarian and longtime rugby player. In fact, he represented the United States in international rugby play as a sevens player. And you're listening to Faith in Sport. This is a co-production of Radio Maria. Chuck and I are talking about the Super Bowl and all things sport. One more thing, because I want to talk to you about the Hall of Fame baseball Hall of Fame balloting that came out last week, in which nobody was elected into the Hall of Fame. But I want to mention one more thing and talk about this just for another minute. I said that in the first half of the show, Chuck, that was part of the brilliance of Tom Brady is that he saw not just a good team in Tampa Bay, but I'll bet $100 he saw a good defensive team. This was the first time ever, Chuck, that Patrick Mahomes, in the 3 years he's been in the league, did not engineer a touchdown. The first time.
I know.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He didn't get a touchdown. Right.
Yeah.
Also, the first time he lost by double digits. And Tony Romo made a great comment. He goes, you can say that about a quarterback who played like four or five games, but he's been playing for three or four seasons, and he hadn't lost ever a game by double digits.
No, I know. Let me ask you with this and end on this point. I asked Chris this earlier. I asked Ed this. And they were kind of differing in their opinion, but a lot of people said the game was downright boring. Did you find it boring?
Well, it was unfortunate. Listen, it could have been all those penalties. There was a couple of key penalties early on, and that really kind of crushed things. And, of course, people threw out their conspiracy theories that they want Brady to win.
Yeah.
The one that led to the third touchdowns were all good calls. The guy got tripped up. I think Brady overthrew him, but you don't know. Maybe Evans could have got to it. Then the next one, the ball was in the air. He hit him. Those were good calls. But the other ones, there was a couple of bad calls there. I mean, I didn't think they were the greatest calls. Certainly one, a holding, and it was third down, you know. So sometimes those make a big difference. But I don't think there's any question that they made Patrick Mahomes look like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback also, but sometimes the right defense will get him just running around, and he's just off the cuff. You can do off the cuff once in a while. That makes Mahomes great, Lamar Jackson great. But if you're doing it every play, they got you.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, that's what I thought.
But, you know,
I didn't think it was, but I was rooting for Brady in Tampa Bay. So
so it was probably a little more exciting. If you're looking for a better, closer game, or you're a Chiefs fan, it's probably a little more boring. But let me.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Let me ask you this. In fact, I said it would be our last question, but I want to ask you this. Especially, it reminds me of Sevens rugby play. One of the things, although he was running for his life on so many of those drop back passes, Chuck, do you remember anybody who has that sixth sense? That guy knows exactly what to do, how to move, where to move to create another 2 or 3 seconds. I'm so impressed by Mahomes and his ability to do that. Do you remember who's the last guy to be that good?
When was the last what? A guy that was that good? I was so just enthralled by the plays he was making. It was unbelievable. Sometimes he hit the guy right in the hands.
Yeah.
And they can catch it. That was a killer play. But someone else like that, I mean, the first guy would be Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
Only Ed and you and I know who Fran Tarkenton is. But I don't know.
There's also Chuck, a guy.
Lamar Jackson is like him.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But, yeah, he does. And clearly, there's some guys. I think Cam Newton had that. But is certainly as good and maybe better than anybody I've seen. There were so many times I'm like, oh, they're going to get him. And he would make this little move. And you know exactly the move I'm talking about.
And
then, boom, he'd create another sometimes 3 or 4 seconds. I'm like, how did he just do that? And the amazing thing was those defensive backs still had, in those additional 3 seconds, those guys covered. It was unbelievable. All right, so Chuck, so listen, I want to switch gears here because you're a big baseball guy. I'm a big baseball guy. You know, this was the first time, and amazingly, it was the second time in about 5 years that the Hall of Fame for baseball did not induct any of the players, and there's a long list. And, of course, literally right at the top of the list was Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, and as you know, they need 75% of ballots casted their way to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, and those guys are hovering between 65 and 70%. So they're flirting with it, but they're actually not, quote, close to it. Is this, like, what do you think about that? Like, these guys, you know, there's so much evidence against them, especially 15 years ago at the end of their playing careers. Should we forget about this? Is this something that we should never forget about? How do you feel about the steroid era and players like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Manny Ramirez and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I don't know about my opinion on this. I think it's fine they're not in. I would say this. I think Pete Rose should be in. He didn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
He gambled. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
As you know, I used to gamble a lot. No, but those guys, here's the thing. For them, they have to admit that they used, did they admit I mean, did those guys admit that they used it?
No.
When they had the chance?
Nope.
Yeah.
They were never under indictment, though.
You admit it? I'm telling you, you'd get a lot of people on your side if you admit that you didn't. The whole thing about life is to admit who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, we can. I don't mean to judge those guys either, because who knows what I would do in those situations. I mean, I know guys like you and me, we think of ourselves as being having all this integrity about sports and about life and everything. But for the grace of God, do I. So I don't mean to judge them or anything, but I'm. It's fine that they're not in. I think it would have been good for them to say, yeah, I used.
Yeah.
To say you used.
But you know, here's the thing, Chuck. Folks, we're talking here on Faith and Sport with Charlie Wilkinson, seminarian and former international rugby player. In particular, we're talking about the Hall of Fame ballots that came out last week in Major League Baseball. Nobody was inducted into the Hall of Fame for the second time in 10 years. This was the outcome. And that's actually pretty rare, I think, when you look at all the major sports to not have any inductees. But you know the thing about this, Chuck?
I didn't know that. Yeah, that is true.
The thing about this, Chuck, is when you say that they admit it, and I agree that they should admit it, because you and I are Catholic. You and I are, we know the importance of the sacrament of reconciliation, and it's a cleansing sacrament, right? And it's important to come to the realization of who we are and who we are to God and so forth, and to make and accept that we have flaws and accept that we did things wrong and apologize ultimately. But here's the thing, as you know, it was a good 10 years ago now that Pete Rose, might not have been that long, but he admitted to it. And of course, nobody's voting that guy in, right? That I think he has about as good a chance to get in as Shoeless Joe Jackson, who has virtually no chance. But I do agree with you. Even if you don't get in, Chuck, it would be a good idea for their souls and to come clean with the people who greatly suspect them to have used this, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, of course, you have Pete Rose. Maybe he did it so he could get some sympathy. We have Lance Armstrong, who admitted to everything. Maybe he did it for some money or to get some sympathy. I don't know his motivations, again. But for all those people, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go out. I know my own life experiences that I always believed I was a good person. Everyone told me I was a good person. My mother told me I was a good person. But it had to take the divorce from my ex-wife. I'm 63 now, so this is 30 years ago. Yep. But it took that and the tragedy that is for my two children to make me realize, that I wasn't such a good person. I mean, I put sports first and destroyed my marriage. And, and this didn't happen when she left. This happened 20 years later when I heard this good news that God loved me as I was in my sin, as an irresponsible guy, as a all the sins and problems that I had that led to the divorce. So, and my ex didn't leave me because I was a bad guy or anything like that. She left because I judged her. I was always judging her, thinking I was better than her as a parent in relations with children. So. Anyway, these things happen to us, and we can say thank you, God, for letting me see who I am, so now I have a better chance to accept your love and mercy. I can see who I am, and I need you because I can't do it on my own. I can't be this person, that's so good, whatever. I can't be that way at all, and He doesn't even want us to be that way. He wants us to give life to others. He wants us to be able to give life and not worry about whether we're sinning or not, because we're always going to be sinning as long as we're on this earth.
Brother, that was sewn up so well, and I always appreciate your honesty with this, but also it helps draw people to our Lord, because you're sharing something personal, you're sharing something that was very powerful in your life, but the whole thing is that God loves us as who we are, and He's always willing to bestow His grace upon us, and all we have to do is look His way, and we do that through Mass, we do that through the sacraments, we do that through prayer, and brother, thank you for the candidness there, because I think a lot of people need to hear that message. Listen, brother, go ahead, finish out the last couple.
God, this is how good God is to me. I'm 63, and I still get to play soccer and basketball in a seminary with a bunch of 20-year-olds, John. I couldn't be I'm the happiest guy out here.
I know. I don't doubt that, brother. Listen, We have to move on to our next thing here in the show, but I want to publicly thank you for saying yes to our Lord, and I ask our audience to pray for your continued preparation for the priesthood.
Oh, thank you.
You got it, brother. Charlie Wilkinson, thank you for joining us here on Faith.
I'm praying for you guys, too.
I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Okay, take care.
Okay, ciao.
What a great interview. Bye-bye. What a great interview. Hey, John, you know, as you guys were talking to our guests, I came across something that kind of fit to everything. Faithful lessons from the Super Bowl. There's like three of them I just want to cover with here. Your power source is everything, so don't pull the plug in the middle of the game.
There you
the
go.
Good Lord.
There you go.
When you play hard and witness boldly, good things happen, just like in church. Talk is cheap. Action is everything. And the final one here, you got to keep playing to the end if you want to win, because you'll never know when the good Lord's going to call you.
Absolutely.
That was a great guess.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, put your headphones on so you can hear me talk.
Oh, yeah. That hasn't been rectified, has it?
Oh, yes, it is.
It is?
We got it covered.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there he goes. So, that was a great interview you had with him.
No doubt. Charlie is one of his strengths is what he talked about, and that is he understands fully that we have to come to terms with who we are and who God wants us to become. And the first thing is what he always does is acknowledges his sin, acknowledges his weaknesses, and that's what puts us in the favor of God, right? Because to think that we are our own God, to think that we don't need the sacrament, in particular of reconciliation, we don't need to go to Mass, that puts us in a really bad spot, and that puts our soul in danger.
Yeah, people make terrible gods.
You know, I never quite heard it put that way, but that is brilliant, brother.
Yeah, people make terrible gods. What else we got coming up as we start bringing the show to a close?
Yeah, we're gonna close up here, and we have our stat of the week. Listen to this, brother. For the first time in decades, neither Duke or the University of Kentucky is in the top 25.
Well, I thought you were going to say North Carolina as well.
But that's a separate conversation. Oh. But either Duke or – and here's one of the reasons it's
Why
so
even
big.
Kentucky?
Here's what's so big is that yet both in the last 2 years alone have been in the top three in recruiting. In other words, you know, they rate the top recruits. They're both in the top three. And as we know, a lot of basketball players don't stick around for more than 2 years. So those guys are on their roster. And Krzyzewski and Calipari, they're not making it happen. And the corker to this whole thing is Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, or MSU. None of them are in the top 25.
You know, that makes sense. I had someone tell me the other day, he said, that's good for them. It's one and done is not working. And I didn't know what he quite meant by that, but thank you for
now,
that.
Yeah, now you know. And also, this is the year of the virus, right? And there was a lot of down years for some really big teams. Like LSU is a good example. They had not just a great year last year winning the national title in college football, but a lot of people thought they had the best year of any team in the last 50 years. And this year they came back and they weren't even 500. And so some of it has to be given to the fact that there was interruption in play. There's been a lot of interruption in play in a lot of these teams, and maybe that has something to do with it. But still, Duke and UK, not in the top 25.
Surprising.
Yeah, crazy. All right, folks, listen, as always, I like to end on a quote. This one comes from John Paul II, in which he said directly about sport the following.
Saint John Paul II.
You're right, brother. I didn't give enough credit there.
Kudos to the big guy.
He said, give thanks to God for the gift of sport in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his creator. Before we go, buddy, I want to give special thanks to you. Special thanks to our phone guest, Charlie Wilkinson, for joining me on the show today. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith and Sport.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Faith and Sport is a production of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network and a co-production of Radio Maria. So thank you to all of our Radio Maria listeners tuning in for Faith and Sport. And make sure you tune in again next week at this same time for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport. And in the meantime, if you can't get your fill of Faith and Sport, check out CarolinaCatholicRadio.org for Faith and Sport on demand for the Faith and Sport archive.
Catch the spirit. Learn, love, and live your faith. AM 1270, Catholic Radio, WCGC, Belmont, where Charlotte grows in Christ. Flagship station of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.